Well. Thank you, David, for handing over the mic to this side of the world. Good morning to you on this beautiful Thursday morning. How are you doing? So welcome to Eagle FM, the Eye. It is a pleasure to have you on board, and thanks for joining us. And it's always our pleasure to have you, especially at this time. So yeah, I told you, just hold on. January, we'll get there. So we're almost there. Only just 2 days until we say goodbye, January, until 2027. See you next time, 2027. You know, so it's only 2 days before we end the first month of the year. It's moving, and hopefully you are getting along. You are getting along, the year as well. So, make sure that you are up to it. Eh? Make sure that you are up to it. It's going to be a long year. So just make sure that you are really up to it. We have a country. I keep telling you, we have a country to develop. We have a country, you know, to build. And every one of you, every one of us have a part to play. Wherever you find yourself, you have a part to play to make this a better place, to make Namibia the land of the brave, to show that we are brave enough as we claim to be. And, you know, you have a part to play, and make sure that you're playing your part. Because if you're not playing your part would actually make us not move forward. As simple as that. Okay. The part that you play, it makes us not go moving forward. Whether you're a cleaner, whether you just, you know, whether you just a domestic worker, whether you work, you know, from home. I mean, you have a part to play. Yeah, you're making a life better for someone else, and that person can be able to do what they need to do without being worrying, and then they can be able to perform better in whatever, you know. It's a ecosystem, you know. Yeah, so we need each other, and my emphasis is that make sure whatever you're doing, do it right. Okay, my principle is this. Okay, and this is what always I told my children, that whatever you do, make sure that you do it right for the first time. So do it right for the first time, so that, you know, you don't come back and do it again. So whether you're studying, make sure that you put every energy you have, you know, into it, so that you do it right for the first time. Otherwise, you will come back where you should have been actually at a certain point. Do it right the first time. So you won't be. That should be our principle. That whatever you do, make sure you do it the very best you can, and you do it right for the first time. Okay? So that we don't keep repeating the same thing over and over and over. We're not moving anywhere. All right? So, very good morning. Our time is about 6 minutes past the hour of 8. My name is Michael Chiavelli, and this is Unpacking the Day. So, your daily dose of what is really going on in business news, economic news, and politics, and everything in between, actually. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear, and always being curious, asking the questions that matter, and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So The views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. You can be part of Eagle FM family. And this is your space. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, good morning to you, and you are most welcome, and you're welcome on board. So, let's do this together, as we usually do. What we do normally If you're just joining us today for the first time, we look at what happened on this day in Africa. So let me welcome my African, you know, listeners. Good morning to you, Africa, and every warm welcome to another episode of On This Day in Africa. So today we are turning the pages of our shared history to see what happened on this very day, the 29th of January. Now, let's take a journey. And we began in 1967. In 1967, in the beautiful nation of Tanzania. So on this day, President Julius Nyerere, Mr. Mwilimu got his name, your teacher. So Mwilimu means teacher. Officially launched Arusha Declaration. Now, this wasn't just a speech. It was a birth of a national vision called Ujamaa. Now, so what is that? What was that Ujamaa now? So now, Ujamaa is a simple term. It was a form of African socialism. You know, a sociopolitical system that we should have adopted as an African, you know, as Africa. So, but the core idea was that the nation should function like one big extended family. So it emphasized community living, working together on a collective farms and sharing the wealth. Now, the goal was to build a country based on equality and corporations. So where no one is actually left behind. Does that sound familiar? No one left behind. Harambe. I think Harambe is also a word that coming from Tanzania, actually. It's a Tanzanian word. Yeah. So that nobody actually left behind. It was a bold, uniquely African attempt to create a fair society after colonial rule. So a powerful idea that still actually shape conversation about development today. Now, let's travel back. Let's travel back even further to the year 1837, to the land we now call Senegal. So this is a birth year of a truly remarkable figure, Cheikh Amadou Baba. Cheikh Amadou Baba was a spiritual leader, a poet, and a scholar who actually founded the Moride Brotherhood. Okay, one of the most influential Islamic movement in the West Africa. So now, at a time when colonial power were taking control, Cheikh Amadou Baba taught a path of resistance, but through peace and hard work, you know? So, not through violence, all right? So, he inspired now millions to find strength in their faith and dignity in their labor. Now, to this day, his teaching are the foundation of a powerful community and the holy city of Touba. A Touba that actually stands as a statement to his incredible legacy. So a leader whose influence is still felt across Senegal and even far beyond Senegal. So our history isn't always one of peace and vision. Sometimes it's also marked by difficult turning points. On this day in 1966, Nigeria's Africa most populous nation experienced its first military coup. Now, in the early hours of January 29th, the army took control of the government, overthrowing the Prime Minister Abubakar Tafawa Belewa. Now, this was a shocking event because this was the first time. So it's a shocking event that actually marked a dramatic shift from civil rule, from civilian rule. Now, it was the beginning of a long and often turbulent period where the military would pay a central role in Nigerian politics. Now, for many, this day changed the course of the nation's post-colonial journey forever, so shaping decades that would actually follow. But history also gives us a moment of great hope. Let's fast forward now to 1991 in South Africa. So apartheid was crumbling and the nation was on a long, difficult road to freedom. So on this day, a truly symbolic meeting took place. Now, for the first time in 30 years, two giants of the anti-apartheid struggle sat down together. Nelson Mandela, who had just been released at that time from prison, and Mangosuthu Buthelezi, a powerful political leader. So now these two had been on the opposite side for a generation. They were on an rival side for a generation, not in terms of apartheid then. So their meeting and their joint statement. All right, so there was a little bit of a disconnection there. So now they, as I said, they have been on the opposite side for generations. So their meeting and their joint statement for peace was a massive step now forward, and it was a sign that old rivals could actually come together for the good of the country. So it was a handshake that helped signal a new and united South Africa that it was possible. So when we come back, we look at our thought for the day. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right. Our time is about 15 minutes, quarter past 15 minutes past the hour of 8. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day, and we're coming to you live and direct from Ondangwa Studio. So I will be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock. So when we will be handing over to the man himself, he's back. And that's Tate Franz. He's back and he will be taking over from Tate Naluvanda, who was actually giving you Kuthamosha from this studio. You know, I used to enjoy that interactions before, you know, before he get on with the show. So now I couldn't be able to do that with Tate Franz in Mintuk. All right, we will have him back. It's good to have him back. So at 10 o'clock, Tate Franz will be back today. So with Kuthamosha, make sure that you stay tuned for Kuthamosha as usual, as you do every day, as you do that usually. All right, today, the Thursday, January the 29th, the thought for the day: they that envy others are their inferiors. They that envy others are their inferiors. So the proverb means that envy comes from a sense of insecurity or inadequacy. When someone constantly envies another person's, let's say, another person's success, another person's progress, another person's, you know, possession, it suggests that they feel less capable, less confident, or less accomplished themselves. Now, the proverb is not saying the envious person is inferior by birth, like you are. By birth, you're inferior, or by worth, you know? No, it's saying they place themselves in an inferior position mentally. Okay, they do that by placing themselves in an inferior position mentally. So now, instead of improving their own situation, they focus on resenting someone else's achievement. So that focus weakens them. Okay, it keeps them stuck. Meanwhile, the person they envy continues moving forward. So whatever choices and decision you make today, make sure that you focus on your success, you focus on your progress, you focus on you, okay, and not on other people's accomplishment. So that's our thought for the day. They that envy others are their inferiors. So hopefully that's not you. So good morning and welcome. Welcome to Eagle FM. It's, as I said, it's always a great pleasure to have you. And wherever you find yourself, make sure that you stay connected with Eagle FM anywhere, anytime. Okay? We want you to do that. That's why we have an app for you, you know? Wherever you are, you can listen to Eagle FM through an Eagle FM, through Eagle. You can also listen to us from website. You can from Eagle FM website. And of course, on Eagle FM mobile app. Okay. And you can download Eagle FM mobile app through Google Play or Play Stores. And on the app, as I always tell you, on the app, there are so many things. There are so many features. You know, there's news update, there are schedules of different shows, there are vacancies sometimes, you know, political people, your political parties, manifestos are there, podcast, you know, if you cannot be able to listen to this is your favorite program, so you can always go back and listen to the whole program. You know, you don't miss anything with us. You don't miss anything. So make sure that you download the Eagle FM so that you don't miss anything at all. So, all right. So welcome. Make sure that you download and you're connected wherever you find yourself. All right. In today's show, what we actually prepared for you, this is something that we haven't talked about sport much on this show. And today, we have a coalition of fan and activists from the Global South that are actually calling for a boycott of the 2026 World Cup matches in the US. Now, you want to find out the details? Well, stay tuned. And if we have time, this was a story yesterday in the villages by Nino Miravali, Angala. So there is this new draft regulation on sand and gravel mining. Now, so these new draft regulations are being consulted around the country. So what is in this? What are these new draft regulations? Well, stick around if you want to know. So yeah, that's what we have for you. And also, of course, your participation is also part of the show. So you are also welcome and to participate as long as you are unpacked with me. So let's just do this together. After this,
no matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
All right. Good morning. If you're just joining us, good morning, Namibia. Good morning, my dear listeners. Today we are talking football. Can you imagine? We are talking football. We are talking football. Okay, but not just football. We are talking, actually we're talking power. We're talking about power. We're talking about power. We're talking about politics. We're talking about safety and who really get to feel welcome in a global World Cup. Okay, that's what we're talking about. The article is published yesterday. The article published yesterday by CIC News. Now, they're saying that a growing number of football fans, and activists, especially from the Africa and the wider global south, they are questioning whether the United States is a safe and ethical host for the upcoming FIFA World Cup. Well, and this is not just a noise on social media. So, you know, when people just may be saying something on social media, these are organizers' voices. These are organized voices, fan associations, civil society, you know, civil society groups, you know, commentators from countries like South Africa, Nigeria, Kenya, Ghana, Brazil, Venezuela, and part of the Middle East and Africa and Asia. So when you see, you can see the list of countries, you know, it tells you already the relations between, you know, these countries and of course the Americans. So what are they saying? First, let's look at some issues now. Let me kind of highlight issues that they are focusing on, and maybe just add a few, you know, inputs or what are they saying on that. So the first issue is safety and immigration. Now, the article argues that many fans fear U.S. migration enforcement. So they fear that even more than, you know, the fear of missing a match, you know? So they fear that. I mean, when you have paid your money, you're kind of like, okay, would I get to the stadium? You know? So, but here now people are afraid. So their fear, the fans' fear is U.S. immigration enforcement. Now, and here's the spoiler. Let's say you save for years, okay? I want to just give you a picture of what they are afraid of. Okay. So you save for years, you buy your ticket and you get your visa. You're flying in to support your favorite team. Well, unfortunately, your favorite team is Brave Warrior, but we're not there. So you go and support your favorite, maybe African team. So you're full of excitement. But at airport, so instead of a welcome, now you get suspicion. Eh? Imagine you come, this should be a football festive, you know? Now, instead of now, hey, welcome to America, welcome, but now you are now get suspicion. So, you might be pulled aside for extra questioning, just, you know, because of your color or because of your accent. I can see already some people from Eagle FM who shouldn't go if it's come to accent. So your document are being scrutinized and there are story online widely shared. Of people being separated from their families and held for hours, and even with their right papers, even if they have the right papers. So the concern is very simple. If you are African, Latin American, Middle Eastern, or Asian, or you're Asian, you know, Chinese or so, so you may be treated as a suspect first, eh? And a football fan second. You know, first you're a suspect. Why are you here for? No. I have come to watch the World Cup. You're black. You're coming from Namibia, you know? So I think Namibia want to be treated that way. But they are certain country that definitely. So you're from South Africa. Okay. Come in this room quickly. You know? So are you from, where are you from? I'm from Palestine. What? You know, get into that room. You go in that line. All right. So, yeah. So now the groups point to the long-standing role of, you know, this U.S. Immigration and Custom Enforcement. You probably have heard the ICE, you know, the ICE that actually, you know, how was I said? You know, the story of Minnesota. This is where you hear more about the ICE, you know, terrorizing and, you know, arresting, you know, the Somalian descent people, you know, in Minnesota. So because of that fraud and corruption that is going on in that state. So yeah. So now the groups are pointing to the role of the U.S. Immigration and Custom Enforcement. So this is the same agency associated with, you know, raids, detentions, family separation in recent years. So now campaigners now, the one who are campaigning for this are arguing, they argue that even visa with valid visas could be questioned. You could be questioned. You could be detained based on how, probably just based on how you look and how you sound, your accent, you know. So just from your accent, you could be just be detained or just separated or because of that. All right, we continue after this.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. So we're talking about campaigners and activists that are really looking at the World Cup in the States. And they are campaigning that it should be boycotted. It should be boycotted. So, and they argue that, you know, as I said earlier on, I was saying that, you know, even visitors with valid visas, could be questioned and detained based on how they look or just on your accent. So you have to, before you go to the World Cup, you have to practice. Okay, make sure that you practice with your. So make sure that you practice with your accent. So make sure that you practice your accent when you go there. You know, as who is this? Helmut always said, when you go there, you are rah rah rah. Okay, so you can practice a little bit. Okay, so well, I have been in the States, so maybe I can help a little bit. Okay, anyone who want to practice, so anyone who want to practice the accent, okay, please do. I can, but I will charge. I'm not gonna do it on free. So I will charge. Okay. So now, so the message from this fan group is powerful. It's really powerful. They say, A World Cup should be should feel like, as I said, a World Cup should feel like a festival, you know, and it should be a celebration, not a risk assessment, kind of like, okay, so come here, let's see what is going on. So not a situation where you have to worry if your skin, you know, if your skin color, or you don't have to worry if your skin color or your accent will get, you know, will get you in trouble. That shouldn't be the case. So this is what now these groups and the activists and African and other commentators are actually on about. So the first issue is really the safety and immigration. And then the second issue is the Global South experience. The Global South experience. For fans from Latin America, for example, and Africa, this fear is not theoretical. It's not just something that they are thinking about. Many come from regions where U.S. immigration policy has had real and painful consequences. You know, we're talking about deportation, border crackdown in country like, you know, Mexico and, I'm talking about Central American, you know, Central American, the Caribbean part of Africa. So the article also mentioned that supporters from these countries, feel especially exposed. They feel exposed because these are countries that are targeted by the U.S. immigration policies in terms of deportation, border cracking downs, and things like that. So, and that raises a deeper question. Is football really global if movement itself is treated like a crime? You know? So those are some of the questions they're looking at. Some of the issues that they're looking at. And the third issue is the foreign policy and moral credibility. Now, but the controversy, it doesn't stop. As I said, it doesn't only stop at the border, you know, it gets bigger. It goes from personal safety now to global morality. So many fans and commentators are saying, you can't separate the host country from its politics. You cannot separate, you know, the host country, which is the U.S., and other two countries, Canada is also there, and Mexico, and Mexico. So they point to America's action on the world stage. They see a nation involved in many conflict, and they ask, how can such a country host a neutral? How can it host a neutral event for the whole world? So that's what they're looking at. That's what they're questioning, that how can a country that is involved in so many conflict can actually host a neutral event for the whole world? So the biggest flashpoint they mention is the war in Gaza. Okay? So there's a lot of anger over how FIFA, over how FIFA and the world have responded. So people are asking, why was Russia banned from football after invading Ukraine, but Israel faces no similar sanctions for its action in Gaza? So those are some of the questions that these countries and these people are asking. So, and they see a double standard here. So they see a double standard. And since the United States is a major supporter of Israel, providing weapons and backing, they see the U.S. not as a neutral host, but as a player in the conflict. So for them, attending the World Cup in America would feel like endorsing those actions. So, and it would feel morally wrong, according to them. And one group put it simply that If the rules of the game only apply to some countries and not others, then FIFA has already picked a side. So they feel that, you know, why this doesn't apply? Why this is not applying for America and Israel? So, but the question is, man, maybe the question that we can ask and that we can discuss here is, can sport ever truly be separated from politics? Can we separate? So maybe we just said, hey, because we're looking at also that you know, when you do that, there was the issues in Qatar. There were people who said, well, because of women rights in places like Qatar, I remember the English wanted to do something. They wanted to, they wanted to either demonstrate or kind of some kind of showing their displeasure of violation of women's rights in Qatar. I don't know. I can't remember whether they were able to do that. They were able to, you know, that any postures that you can, either you're wearing an armband or you kneel down during the national anthem, some kind of a posture to show your protest. So some kind of a protest that, you know, you show. But the question I'm asking is, can we really ever truly separate? Can sport ever truly be separated from politics? Okay? In some way, somehow, you know, it's part of the game, isn't it? Or what do you think? What do you think? So the fourth issue was now the call for boycott and protest, all right? So the article says the call for action are getting louder and bolder. They're getting louder and bolder. Some are urging National Football Federation from Africa and other parts of the Global South to simply refuse to play their matches in the United States. A full boycott of their matches that are scheduled to be played in the United States. Like, boycott that. Okay? So, and others are suggesting maybe smaller, more symbolic protests, like what I was saying. Maybe player taking a knee during the national anthem, something like that. Maybe fans unveiling banners in the stadium to make their point. Yeah. Or others argue for symbolic protests. Could be armbands, as I said earlier on, statements that they can make. Collective gestures, you know, some sort of collective gestures as well. So, but the most popular idea seems to be this. The most popular idea seems to be that go to the World Cup, but just not to the American part. You know, don't just go to the American. The tournament is also being held in Canada and Mexico. So just not to the American part, to America, okay? So the message is, take your tourism money, okay? Your passion, your support, you know, to the host who will make you feel welcome. Okay? Attend the games in Toronto or Montreal, in Mexico City or in Guadalajara, you know? So one of those towns. Guadalajara. Is it Guadalajara? What is that? That Guadalajara or something like that. All right, in Mexico. So, yeah, go to the country that, you know, will make you feel welcome, where you're not feeling that you will be interrogated. Every move you make based on your color, based on your accent, you know. As I said, there are people that I think you shouldn't go at all to the state during that time because of their accents. So the African sport commentators and these activists remind us that this is not new. One also this doing this kind of thing is also not new. It's not something that is new and specific now. We have to do that because of America. No. It's something that is, and we have an example sport, for example, sport was used to isolate South Africa, to isolate apartheid South Africa, not the South Africa we have now. So athletes would have, you know, they protest against racism, against war, against injustice before. This has been done. We see armband, or black armband that always wore. We see people kneeling, used to kneel for racism. So this is something that is done. It's not something that is new. So, and this is not anti-football. Now you're looking at, no, that's some kind of anti-football. It's not anti-football. It's a football. Actually, it's a football as a moral language. You know, it's a football as a moral language. So, and that's how you can speak. You can use that platform to communicate your message. But maybe there's something. Let me ask you this. If sport has power, all right? Now, if sport has power, given what is happening in the world, if sport has power, when is it right to use that power? When is that right to use it? It would be a powerful message if this country decided, no, we're not going to have a match in the U.S. We'd rather have it in Canada or Mexico. So that would be very powerful. It would be a very powerful message. Hey, I'm quite a noia, Dimbwane. Oh, mama, I'm quite a noia, Dimbwa. If you go in, if you do that to him, you know, if you do that to the state, and sometimes that's where our fears are. If you do that to the state, they will come after you later. They will come after you in something else. Okay? So maybe they will slap you with tariff, your country, they will slap your country with tariff, or something else. They will do something to you. So, yeah, Dimbwa, kunongonong kwitao. So, that's another problem. But it will be a very powerful message. It will be a very powerful message, you know? So, well, we may not be there in terms of Namibia may not be in the World Cup. We are not in the World Cup anyway. So, we're very close. We're always close. Yeah, so it's like every year we almost never count, you know? But we are part of Africa. We are part of Africa, and Africa is being asked to show up, you know, celebrate and spend money. So do our friends feel protected by this, by the global system? You know, do we feel protected? Are we going to be interrogated every turn we make? Or do they feel, you know, we just feel tolerated at best, you know? So, would a Namibian supporter feel completely safe flying to the U.S., wearing a national colors and speaking with an African accent? Speaking Namlish, would they? And if not, what does that say about the idea of a World Cup for everyone? I think that's the whole question, and this is the point. What do you think, Namibia? All right, what do you think? How should the world of football respond to this controversy? How should we respond to this controversy? So now it's your turn. You know, what do you think about this controversy? 08-333-6091. So what do you think? So 08-333-6091. So you're most welcome now to come through and have your say. So we're talking about football today. That's different. All right. So not really football, but, you know, this controversy that. So 08-333-6091, you're most welcome to come through now and react to our first story. So you were coming through. What happened to you? Where did you go? So come back. All right. So 08-333-6091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are.
There, baby.
A very good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Oshoveri. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Thank you very much for an opportunity.
Yeah.
So, yes, the world is falling apart.
The world is falling apart?
Somehow, there are a lot of unpredictability.
Yeah.
And our behaviors toward the global peace and solidarity and peace, actually, and all these other important values.
Yeah.
It is really becoming very difficult. So I thought when Trump came into power the second time, even that time of the last time, he actually was voicing nice sentiments. Good sentiment that really encourage also the leadership of the world.
Yeah.
In terms of facilitating and bringing peace. He even confessed, no, if I was a president by then, during the Obama, when the Libyans and the Iraq and all these things, leaders were assassinated.
Mm.
And he said he wasn't going to do that. And he was going to preserve peace, the dialogue and all these reforms and things like that. But we are seeing a different picture. The world is seeing a different picture.
Yeah.
So on the issue of boycotting the FIFA.
Yeah. There's this FIFA World Cup, yeah.
I first read it from one of those who were actually president and leaders of the FIFA. And they say, no, it's not good enough.
Hmm.
It doesn't promote solidarity. Doesn't promote sustainability, and even inequality that we are talking about, faced by especially South Africa, Namibia, and many other countries, so which were actually their cause of making.
Yeah.
People are very worried. And if it's the boycotting of that FIFA World Cup in U.S. is for the purpose of peace, global peace and solidarity, I think it could be a strong weapon to use.
Yeah, no, I mean, on a global stage where everybody's focusing on this, and then all this country maybe decided, now we are boycotting. We're not going to play it in the U.S. Our matches are not going to be played in the U.S. We're going to play it in Mexico, or we're going to play it in Canada. It's a big message. It's a very big message. But I was saying, saying that on Kweta, we are Dimbwane, you know, you do something to him, he will come after you. He will come after you.
I was laughing about that thing and when you were mentioning it, and I started laughing and everybody started laughing. I said, it's true. It's true. But a revenge, we are told we must be left with God.
Yeah. Well,
the revenge.
ideally, that's the case. But, you know, the reality is totally different, you know. Yeah.
So let's see how things we image.
Yeah.
And also our prayer that, yes, he might also be touched a little bit
yeah.
by some of those issues.
Yeah.
And please try to reconsider.
Yeah, but they have a point. I think these people have a point where you say, look, this country, it's really involving many conflict around the globe. So how can it be neutral? You know, there are people who may, their country, let's say, for example, countries feel, they may not feel safe in that country.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, so really just have that feeling that we may not feel safe. The way we might be treated would probably be different based on the relations with our South Africa is in the World Cup. Yeah, he's qualified for the World Cup. South Africa, for that matter, you know? So
I was watching them when they were saying, yes, we are going there. But those are perhaps maybe before the message really reached their heart. So they were even playing, I think they were to play with Morocco.
Yeah.
And now that Morocco is also receiving some kind of penalty there in Senegal, I don't know how they will really say. The issue is that if you speak with one voice.
Yeah.
Look at during the G20 summit.
Yeah.
The leaders really spoke with one voice.
Yeah.
Trump was actually isolated.
Yeah,
and the same applied when during the apartheid system, there were also sanctions that were made.
Yeah.
But you could see that America was still moving forward to support the discriminatory and apartheid regime that was going on in South Africa and Namibia.
Yeah.
So many other countries actually decided, let's put some kind of sanction.
Yeah.
And to show the world that yes, this is a barbaric kind of treatment and all these other things. So this time around in G20, he was trying to do the same thing. I don't know whether he was also trying to convince the leaders of the world not to attend.
Mm.
But I've heard that he's now saying South Africa will be excluded. I don't know how you include that in. And in fact, they were also not happy.
Mm.
They made it clear that that degradation of socially inclusive.
Yeah.
Mm. They specifically said no. If you are saying it's socially inclusive, everybody should be included in all this activity, even their social summit that were held before the leaders summit took place itself.
Yeah.
You see, he's saying no, it's not part of that. It's not entertaining those kind of declaration.
Mm.
Now one wonder why you are saying that South Africa is not safe, Namibia is not safe, and many other countries. But why then do you still impress the issue of exclusive?
Mm. Yeah.
Exclusivity.
So protectionism, that's the fragmentations, you know, all that, those are the issues now that we need to take seriously, you know. Oh, yeah. So
in conclusion is that we hear more because those things we do hear them from Eagle FM,
yeah.
And you are doing the best. Actually, yesterday with Adekauruma, we were talking about those areas.
Yeah.
And that can't we just appreciate some kind of news and all this information and educative that we are hearing from these our colleagues.
Yeah.
They are going an extra mile to dig deep. Today we're talking about the rating and things like that with David. And you can see that there are a lot of bias also being observed in this kind of rating. And the same apply to Trump now, this time around.
Exactly.
So thank you very much for giving me an opportunity, Mike.
No, thanks for coming through. Eh?
Mm.
All right. Yeah. Yes. So what we said so far is that first, safety first, and there is genuine fear among men from the global south that they will face racial profiling. You know, they will be racially profiled and aggressive immigration enforcement in the U.S. So they are really genuine. This is a genuine, because this is something already happening to some other countries that are already, not just because of the World Cup, but what is happening already and turning celebration. People don't want to now turn celebration into some kind of source of anxiety Now you know, you keep running around hiding so that you, and try to speak, you know, try to have an American accent so that you don't be recognized. You know, if you say, you know, if you speak Namlish and then, well, hey, where are you from? Hey, come. You know? Yeah. Second, politics on the pitch. Many see the U.S. as a morally compromised host. You know, they see as a morally compromised host due to its foreign policy and particularly its support for the Israel in the Gaza conflict. So they think that they are morally compromised host. And they point to what they see as a FIFA's double standards. And for them, attending the U.S. World Cup feel like taking a side they don't agree with. So that's the point, all right, for much of this group. So, and the boycott dilemma. So there's also this boycott dilemma, call to avoid U.S. matches is also growing, according to the article, is growing. But the best way to respond is still up for debate. So what is the best way actually to respond? Should the team pull out? Well, you disadvantage now the athlete who have been preparing for this, you know. Should fan protest? Maybe. Or should they simply support the games in Canada or Mexico instead? You know? So that's still up for debate. And here as well. This is where the place you have to do that. You can come through and talk to me. So at its core, really, this debate forces us to ask what the World Cup is really all about. So, okay, is it just about football, or is it about the values we as the global community stand for? You know, so the United States won the right to host the tournament, but can it win the trust of the world? That's the question. Let's talk. Can it win the trust of the world, given where what it's actually doing, you know, around the globe? So let's talk. 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So you are welcome to come through.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onarahita tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oniyari. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, this is the eye, and this is Eagle FM, and we come into you live from the Ondangwa studio in the great, in the mighty region of Oshana region. So good morning to you and welcome. Yeah. So, all right. So I'm still waiting for you. You're most welcome to come through, for our first stories that we looked at. So, but let's move on. We can't stand still. We can't be standing still. So we gotta move on. We got to move on. So welcome back. And in this segment, Dan, we will be talking about what we are talking about. Scent. Yeah, we are talking about scent. Scent, just scent. S-A-N-D. All right. Now, there is new draft regulation. This is also a story. If you want really to know the details, much of the details, make sure that you yesterday's edition of the Villager have these details, have this story by Nino Menmavali Hangala. In detail. So make sure that you subscribe for the Villager. All right. If you haven't done that now, do that now, right away. Okay. So do that right away, please. No, I'm not begging you. I'm not begging you because we do this for free. Why would I beg you? Why would I beg you when we do this for free for you? All right. So do subscribe. And you can receive your copy, digital copy of the e-newspaper, of the Village e-newspaper, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All right? And all what you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message to this number with your name and your email address. So 081-241-44. So then, voila. That's all what you need to do. So, all right. So there's this new draft regulations on scent and gravel mining being consulted around the country, and that's what we are going to unpack right now. So I invite you to do that with me. So now. Because it's very important. This is actually very, 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 very important. If you are in mining, especially mining for the scent mining, this is for you. Don't move away. Don't go away. So the Minister of Environment, Forestry, and what is the other word? And Tourism has admitted something we have all seen with our own eyes. Okay, and many of you have seen this. We have seen in the news. We have seen it also, especially in Kavango as well, and elsewhere in the country, not only in Kavango. Illegal scent mining is out of control. Is out of control, especially in a communal area. So we're talking about massive pit, a whole pit left open, And do you know there was a picture, I think, in the Namibian or in one of the newly daily newspaper, a house just on the edge, you know, it's not the house just right on the edge of the pit. Yeah? And the pit is complete. The house is not even about 5 meters from the pit. Right at the edge. Yeah. It's left open. The landscape is destroyed. The road is damaged, and community actually left picking up the pieces. And this is also happening. I mean, I'm around Ongwediva. We have villages where, like in Matando, for example, where there was sand mining as well. When you go there, oh my good Lord. You know, it's houses are very, 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 very close to the house, this big pit, this hole. And, you just pray, when you have, soil erosion, erosion? You know, when you have now the rain and all this, you're just thinking at one point, this house is going to fall. The house that actually around this whole pit, it's just going to fall in the pit at one point. So, yeah. So why has it gone so bad? Why this has gotten so bad? Two big reasons stand out. There are two big reasons actually stand out. One, first, bribery. someone slips a few node under the table, and suddenly a truckloads of sand disappear into a construction site with no question asked. Bribery is one of that. It's one of the reasons. Second, traditional authority don't have the capacity. They don't have the capacity to manage or monitor these operations. So they are overwhelmed, under-resourced, and often bypassed entirely. They are bypassed by the mighty, the people that have muscles. So here's my question. Here's my question for you. So how did we let it get this far? Because it's really, how did we get it let go to this extent? Who have been sleeping at the wheel? You know, no, this is not now Manchester United. Ole, you know, Ole is on the wheel, you know. So who have been sleeping at the wheel while our environment really get curved up and sold off? So now the government say they have got a plan. They said, hey, we got a plan. Now, these draft regulations currently being consulted on around the country are supposed now to change the game. They are now supposed to change the game. Let me walk through what they are proposing. So that you know exactly what this draft regulation is all about. Okay? Now, first, environmental assessment are now mandatory. All right? The environmental assessment are now mandatory. So if you want to mine sand commercially, for example, if you want to mine sand commercially, listen carefully. So you need to hire a qualified environmental practitioner to do a proper scoping study. All right? So you need to hire. If you want to do this commercially, you need to hire a qualified environmental practitioner, you know, to do a proper scoping study. So this is now before you start. Don't start now and then like get at the commissioner. No, a practitioner. So you need to consult with the stakeholders. This is now before you even start, before you start mining. So you need to consult with the stakeholders. That means the community, local leaders, everyone affected. There will be some other people that are affected in that community. So you will need an environmental management plan. Environmental management plan. No shortcuts, no backroom deals, you know. Okay, it's a thing for you men, huh? You know, environmental management plan. Okay? So, and then you also need an environmental clearance certificate. So when you now want, this is now when you want to do this commercially, all right? So you also need an environmental clearance certificate, the ECC, all right? So before you even think about digging, so these are some of the requirements. And this applies whether you are on a communal land, doesn't matter where you are, whether you're on a communal land, you're on a state land, or private property. Even if you're on a private property, this is required. Everyone plays by the same rules now. Okay? These are the rules. It doesn't matter where you are. All right? Now, secondly, you have to plan foreclosure. So because these things are just left open, when you go to those where they were mining sands, they're just left open. Nothing has been done, okay? Now to level maybe the place or something, you know, to make it look more, we're talking about environmental management plan. How are you going to manage this, you know, once you're closed up? So there must be a plan for closure. Maybe that's part of your environmental management plan. So that means before you start, you tell government how you are going to restore the land where you are done, when you are done. So how am I going to restore the land when I'm done? You need to tell the government that. So you fence off your site. You stay at least, you see, you stay at least 100 or 200 meters away from homes, if there are homes, away from school or business. I can tell you, as I said earlier on, those houses are hanging on the side of the pit. Eh? It's not even 5 meters. Some of that I have seen it with my eyes. It's not just something that I have seen it on a paper. I have seen it with my own eyes. So the regulation is that you stay at least 100 to 200 meters away, either from home, away from homes, from schools, or business, away from any building, any occupied kind of area. So, and you cannot cut down protected trees. You cannot cut down protected trees while setting up your operation. You will not do that. Don't cut out trees. So those are the rules. Those are the rules. It's good that they are doing some consultations, so that you must go to this kind of thing. So those are things now. You know, sometimes there are consultations that are made, and maybe they are not done properly. Maybe they are not announced properly, so that everybody knows what is going on. And sometimes they do it deliberately. Those in charge, they do it deliberately because they don't want people, so many people to come or to, but there's a consultation. So you must go when it comes to your, maybe when it's in your area, go and have your opinion and hear what are those rules, so that you know the reasons why we even bring it here, why we even have it in the villages. It's for you actually to know what is, you know, and we keep saying this. The more you know, the more you'll be able to participate with more informed knowledge. Yeah? So if you know these are the rules, I'm giving you this so that you actually know and you can demand it. So if you find that, you know, this whole mining, the pit it's not even 100 meters away from schools, you have a right to say, you now can go and say, hey, this is only about 50 meters. The rules say it should be about 200 meters. Do you understand? So, and my friend, where's your environmental clearance certificate? Show me. Yeah. You have a right. Yeah? Maybe you are the principal of a school. Maybe you're the owner of the business not far away from the mining is taking place. Maybe your house is closer. So you have a right to ask all this. Where is your certificate? Eh? So, and ways now, what are you going to do? And you can even ask after you have done the mining. What is your environment? Where is your environmental management plan? Can we see it? Because this is our village. This is our place. So we want to know what you're going to do with the place once you have done. So you see, that's why we do this. The more you know, the better you can engage. All right? And that's why stick around. This is where you need to be on Eagle FM. Like Uncle Bona was saying, thank you, Uncle Bona. You know, because we do really go to the extent. Sometime we manage to get people and come and talk to you. They're really people in who are involved. Well, sometimes it's difficult. And then we go to the extent to get information to bring it to you. So, yeah. So now, thirdly, yeah, the thirdly, benefit sharing with the community. So this is even very, very, very crucial. This is very important. Now, the regulations say miners must present a plan showing how the local community benefit from the mining, you know, from the mining. So do you even know that? I didn't know that. So then we're talking of commercial here also, you know. So the regulations say miners must present a plan showing how the local community benefit from the mining. So you should be, as a community, you should be benefiting from this. Because let's be honest, right now, who is benefiting? Well, you know, few truck owners and some middlemen, you know. And meanwhile, the community is actually left with destroyed land and nothing to show for it. Nothing to show for it, but you're left with destroyed land. So there's also a need for a permit. So now let's talk about the permit. So because not everyone needs one, all right? So there are those who need permits and there are those who don't. Now, if you are mining sand for, let's say, for example, just for domestic use, we are talking maybe 5 cubic meters or less, basically enough for your own home project. So you don't need a permit. Okay. If it's less than 5 cubic meters, you don't need a permit. So that is fair, I think. All right. People need to build. So we can't just, you know, if I need to build, then I need to go and get the permit. So, but if you are taking more than that, if you're taking more than 5 cubic meters, and this doesn't matter, even if it's for personal use, even if whether it's for personal, but it's more than 5 cubic meters of sand, you need special approval from the traditional authority or whoever manages the land. All right? Whoever manages the land, you need an approval from there. So, but there's the other things that do now traditional authority. Do they know? Do they have an idea how much that you need to take? You know, that's also something you need people to be trained. You can have now you can have these regulations, but if the people don't know how to, even to measure 5 cubic meters, you know, how would they make sure that they enforce that? So now, if you are going commercial, full stop, you need a permit. And of course, the ECC, the Environment Clearance Certificate. So no exception, definitely no exception. Whether you are operating now in a communal area or state land or private property, you need permission. You need a permit. And it's more. There's more. Transporters now, okay? Those now, the drivers of the truck, are also in the crosshairs, all right? If you are driving a truck full of sand, you better have the ECC. You better have environmental clearance certificate, or a mining permit with you at all times, okay? You must have that at all times. Otherwise, you are in trouble. And don't you dare spill sand on the road. Don't dare spill sand on the road. Environmental officers, where are they when we need them? Environmental officers, police, or even road inspectors can stop you, can fine you, can confiscate your vehicle, and even open a criminal case against you. Community, can you hear that? Yeah? If you have this truck that actually is spilling sand on the road, you know, the environmental officers, you know, you can also say, tell the officers that, hey, look, this truck is spilling, you know, sand on our road. I'm talking maybe tire road. You know, because if it's on the sand, if it's already on the sand, that won't make any difference anyway. So maybe it's on the tar road. Okay. So the environmental officers, the police, you know, even road inspectors, they can stop you. They can fine you. They can confiscate your car and they can open a criminal case. And if we know, that's why we can be able to say, we can also be able now to tell the police, why are you not arresting him? Why are not arresting them? Look how the sand actually spilled all over on our road. Eh? So do something. It is in the law. Now you understand that it's in the law. Eh? Confiscate the vehicle, you know? Find the person. And you find actually the driver. So make sure that your boss have the ECC. Eh? Before you start driving, because otherwise you will get the fine or the vehicle will be confiscated. Eh? Or maybe you're just hired. You have the car is yours, the truck is yours, and you are just hired actually to deliver. Make sure that, you know, you have all that. So, and as a community, this is what we need to know so that we demand accountability when it comes to those. So my question is to the truck community, okay? Are you ready for this level of scrutiny? You know, because this was not, it wasn't, you know, it was not in the law. So are you ready for this kind of, for this level of scrutiny? We need that. We need it. All right. So now there are also penalties. All right. The government now mean business. There are now penalties. Now, what are the consequences? You know, what are the consequences? Because this is where now the government say, they are getting serious. We are getting serious. Now, if you break the law, if you break the rules, here is what you are looking at, all right? So if you break some of these rules, this is what you're looking at. Spot fine. So there's, you can get actually a spot fine. You can get actually the fine at the spot. You know, we talked about confiscation of your, of the equipment, of the vehicle, the equipment and everything. So, or criminal charges. And you can also go for jail. You can actually go for, you can also jailed. Okay. You can get jail time. So, and here's how the government is serious. So you pay for rehabilitation of this site you destroyed. Okay. So now if you don't even have that management plan, that environmental management plan, so you will be fined and you will pay for the rehabilitation of the site that you have destroyed out of your pocket. Okay. That will be out of your own pocket, my friend. All right. So I'm warning you. I'm giving all this information, you know, so that you know what is coming. Make sure that you don't fall prey of this. So the environment commissioner can order you to restore the land and you foot the bill. You foot the bill yourself. So your payment can be, or your permit or your certificate can be also suspended or cancelled if you violate some of these conditions. So when, especially when you're causing environmental damage or go against public or community interest. Kabish? So the regulations say culprit will be punished accordingly. Okay? Sounds like my Secretary General. You know. So the regulations say culprit will be punished accordingly. Strong words. Okay? So, but here's the billion-dollar questions, okay? Do we have the capacity to enforce this? Eh? Because Namibia, we have had good laws before, and we still have them in many sectors, in many areas. That look great on papers, but fall apart in practice. So, because capacity to enforce, capacity to enforce the law, that's the biggest problem. Implementation, we talked about that yesterday, in what context we looked at that. So, that is the problema. That's the problem. So will there be enough, when we talk about capacity, will there be enough environmental officers on the ground? Hardly. When you're talking about, you know, sand mining, will there be enough environment? Do we have already enough environmental officers anyway on the ground? We don't. Will police actually stop truck and check permits? Will they do that? Will traditional authority get the training and resources they need to manage this? Because they need some training. As I said, what is 5 cubic meters like, look like? Yeah? Will they get the training and resources they need to be able to manage this? Or will we see the same pattern? There are laws and regulations, big promises, weak enforcement, business as usual. Business as usual. Not as that, oh, it's no longer business as usual, but continue to be as business as usual. All right. So, yeah, I look at other countries in terms of that. In some countries, this is a big business. We talk about those new draft rules. Now that we're talking about sand mining. But before we reinvent the wheel, there's already rules, you know. There are some, we can see what other neighbors have done, maybe, and learn from them. So as well, before this become absolutely, because there's a draft, these are draft before it becomes a law. Yeah. Some place like Kenya, for example, this is a big, big business. You know, show us what, say, when you look at that, when you read that, there's so much. And you show us sometimes not what to do, you know, things that not to do. So they're illegal mining turn into violent, organized crime, you know, corrupt official looking the other way, you know, while cartels, you know, destroy rivers for cent. So these are kind of sign warning. These are warning signs of what happens when, especially what I was talking about, enforcement is weak. When enforcement is weak. But there's also good news. There's also good news in Kenya. Kenya, Mukweni County. Let's come back after this.
Imba ya rire ombwa nai etepa weather ko ombuni kiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no mafa ku murungu wa indu weri rongere kusha umune ondengu okura ko imba ona ovyu ne ya peke ko rondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe fo twika ovingi no kukara no rupa ondando ya peke yokianja oshimariva o presente dano komiede vitatu moshimariva o presente umurongo komiede hambu umwe moshimariva o presente mirongo ivari na dano Pamiyevi amulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanukife. Ashiesho imba ke kupe oshimariva shishihina omarihiro. Imba o maoronga neno owie uha kainina. Itako na wina rishangita jinon.
Alright. So you most welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 0833-66091 on the topic, on the discussion we are on. Or the one that we have earlier, 0833-66091. We're coming to you live from the Ondango studio. I said, in Kenya, there's also good example. There's also, like in Kenya, they show us what, okay? There's this community, Mukweni County. They got it right. There they got it right. They banned mining to create a smart plan, you know? And then gave a new authority real power. So they brought local communities on board and registered legal miners. Now they registered legal miners and created other jobs to people so that people they're not just relying on the cent. So, and the result, so they broke the whole cartel things. And the environmental, they started to heal again. So they started to, you know, to the environment start to heal again. So, and then there's South Africa. They have great laws on paper. Maybe the same thing that we follow here. So they have great laws on paper, but not enough officers. That's what I was asking. Not enough officers to actually enforce them. I think the lesson here is without the resources to back them up, to back these laws, even the best rules are useless. If there is no resources actually to back them. So you can have them on paper, nice as they are, then, you know, they're useless when there are no resources actually to back them. So what does this mean, you know, for us as Namibian? It's, looking at this, it's pretty simple. We need more than just regulations. It's clear we need more than just regulation. We need really enforcement, as we have seen from other countries. We need our community to be part of the solution. In most cases, this was not the case. And it's good to know that the government have realized that we need the community to be part of the solution. And areas, other countries that have been successful is because community has been part of the solution. And we need to create alternative jobs so that, as I said, in other countries, that it is a lucrative, you know, sector. So in diversifying, even on the local level, would actually then help. That means we need to create alternative jobs as well, rather than people depending on that. And hey, let's not forget technology. Let's not forget technology. What I learned is that countries are using drones and satellite, you know, to catch illegal miners in the act. So maybe that's where we need to go. So maybe that's where we absolutely need to go. Technology. Okay? Now, the bottom line is this. So, and as you're coming through, the bottom line is we can't afford to lose more sand, more land, more our environment. So this is not just about regulations. Oh, my Lord. Yeah, this is just about regulation. It's about whether we are serious about protecting what we have for the next generations. When you look at those holes, it's kind of like, and as I said, and there's no way how, you know, there wasn't, you know, a close plan. How do you restore the environment back to how it was? If there's no that management, then definitely, you know, you all have this. You see, go there when it rained now. It's look horrible. It's look horrible, some of these places. No. So Namibia, over to you, my dear listeners, over to you. What do you think? What do you think about this? Will this regulation work? Do you think it's going to work? Are they strong enough? Are we ready to hold people accountable? Because that's the most important. Well, you can come through. Let's keep this conversation going. 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So you're most welcome to come through.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. This is your number one talk radio station in the land of the brave. All right. Let's bring this home. And what you need to know. So what we have been saying so far is that illegal sand mining has spiraled out of control, driven by bribery and weak oversight, and especially in communal areas that has been really and it was not managed properly. We get a chance, let's abuse this. And as I said, it was driven by bribery, according to the story, and weak oversight. So, yeah. Secondly, the new draft regulation will require environmental assessment. It requires management plan. It also requires community benefit sharing before any commercial mining permits are issued. So those should be indicated in the plan before the person actually start mining. So that's one of the new draft regulations. So small scale domestic mining, 5 cubic meters or less, won't need a permit. But anything more requires approval or a full permit with environmental clearance certificate. Penalties, there are also penalties. Penalties are serious, fines. There will be fines. There will be confiscations. There will be criminal charges. There will be jail time, and mandatory rehabilitation at the violator's expense. So it will be on your expense, violating some of these rules. Okay. So, and the transporters, those who are transporter truck drivers, or whoever, maybe you are the one who will get a tender for transporting from whoever. So transporters also on the hook. They are also on the hook. No permit. No ECC, no environmental clearance certificate. You must prepare to face the consequences. So if you don't have those, you must prepare to face the consequences. So enforcement is everything. We're talking about enforcement is everything. And these regulations are only as good as our ability and actually willingness to implement them. If we don't implement them, they're as good as nothing, because they're just in the book, So, and that's our biggest disease. Hopefully, that won't be the case. All right. Yeah, that's what we looked at. So, yeah, what is your take? What do you think? Namibia, 08333 66091. So when we come back, we're gonna look at some industrial brief in yesterday's edition of the Villager. So make sure you're still tuned.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna I Matina Omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayaguro nirandi soma yoe, yonge shifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifareki uimepo yomo programa letu. Moambo, dengira selma, konora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
All right, Morokeni. So, Namibia, and welcome to Industrial Brief. Industrial Brief, your quick update on the business and community news that matters and is brought to you by the Villager e-newspaper. So, and we have got a few key stories for you today. So that is in yesterday's edition of The Villager. First up, some big news for anyone who uses the internet. So, which is pretty much all of us, I think, which is pretty much all of us, 95%, 90% or whatever. So the Communication Regulation Authority, that's CREN, has just given the green light to 4 new companies to provide satellite internet across the country. 4. Now, these licenses are for something called low Earth orbit. Now, LEO. Okay? Now, satellites. So these are LEO satellites. So think of them as a new generation of satellites that orbit much closer to Earth, you know, which means they can provide faster, more reliable internet, you know, they can provide that faster, more reliable internet. The kind of the quality broadband we have all been waiting for, you know. So we continue this, okay, after this commercial quickly.
Attention all aspiring students. The International University of Management is thrilled to announce that late applications for the academic year 2026 are now open and closing on the 20th of February 2026. Whether your passion lies in environmental management and sustainability sciences, health sciences, ICT, business and strategic management, or in education, we have the perfect program waiting for you. And to our future leaders and changemakers, you are not left out. Boost your career with our postgraduate programs or advance your journey through the Graduate School of Business. Study full-time, part-time, or via distance learning. The choice is yours. Your future, your way. For more information, visit www.ium.edu.na or call us at 061-433-6000. That's 061-433-6000. IUM, a Namibian university dedicated to its people's future.
Well, welcome back. So we're bringing you the industry brief, which is actually brought to you by the Villager e-newspaper. So now the four companies I was talking about, the Communication Regulatory Authority, which has given the green light to 4 new companies to provide a satellite internet across the country. The four companies that got the license are Echo Telecom Communications, Oblix Communications, and RocketNet Internet Namibia, and Blue Telecommunications. Those are the four companies that got the license. And the head of CREN, Emilian Hikembwa, says this is going to shake things up. So she expects more competition in the tech sector, which should lead to the better service for all of us. So, and also, this also put pressure, on the existing mobile companies to roll out their 5G networks and invest more in our digital infrastructure. So the goal is to make sure, that everyone have access to internet with a minimum download speed of 25 megabytes per second by October. Everyone. By October for next year. So get ready for a faster More Connect Namibia. And I can't wait that. I can't wait for 5G, you know. So I'm in for it. In for it. Definitely. So do you. You should be. Now, we need to shift gears for an important public service announcement. The city of Windhoek is warning residents about a scam that is targeting people in our community. Now, scammers are calling residents, threatening to cut off their water, electricity, or other municipal services unless they make an immediate payment. Okay, so Windhoek residents, so this is for you. So they are demanding the money through e-wallet or other mobile money transfers. Now, in some cases, these scammers are even showing up at people's front door, yeah, to try and collect the cash in person. So, and the city wants to make one thing crystal clear. They will never, ever send someone to your house to collect payment for municipal services. Okay? Get that right. Okay? So if you get a call like this, or if someone comes to your door making these threats, do not give them your money. Eh? Don't give them your cash. So be cautious and report it to the authorities. All right. So and finally, in today's in today's industrial brief, finally, some news from Parliament. The Speaker has announced the formation of 17 new parliamentary friendship group. Parliamentary friendship group. Now, what does that mean actually? Well, these are basically teams made up of members of parliament from different parties, and their job is to build and strengthen relationships with other countries. That's basically what they do. And the new friendship group are with nations all across the globe, you know, including now for this 17 new parliamentary friendship group, it includes now Iran. Guys, we need to know. we need to be careful who we associate ourselves with. Now, Iran. Just look at these people we are shooting. Iran, Venezuela, Cuba, Russia, Turkey, China, France, Germany, the United Kingdom, Brazil, and many many others. So I'm not gonna read all of them. All right. So I'm just said, hey, be careful we associate with them. Unika ushiwetu. All right. So now the goal is to promote actually dialogue, cooperation, and what is called parliamentary diplomacy, you know? It's a fancy way of saying our lawmakers are making friends and finding common ground with their counterparts around the world. That's basically what it is. So that is a wrap for this segment of Industrial Brief from the Villager. All right, we will have that every time when the Villager have that sections. So we will bring it to you. So it is brought to you by the Villager e-newspaper. So, all right, what do you take? What is your take on some of this short update that I just bring to you? So most welcome. Have your reaction, have your say. 08-333-66-091. Our time is about 51 minutes past the hour of 9.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na nalonge shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Zeitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupikira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onara heta tuimu. Datu heari hamano tano oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. And what have we looked at this morning? Maybe just to recap some of the things that we talk about. We talk about a genuine fear among the fans from the Global South when it comes to the world FIFA World Cup that they will face. This is a genuine fear that they will face. They're kind of afraid that they will face a racial profiling and aggressive immigration enforcement in the U.S. And that would turn actually the World Cup celebration into some source of anxiety. And people feel that, yeah, they don't want to do that. So and the politic on the pitch, many sees the U.S. as a morally compromised host due to its foreign policy. So particularly its support for Israel and other conflict in the world. So yeah, and they point to what they see as FIFA's double standard also in terms of attending now, the kind of people feel that attending the U.S. World Cup feel like, you know, taking a side they don't agree with, you know. So, and there's an issue of boycotting the whole U.S. Matches, not the whole FIFA World Cup, but just the U.S. matches. So they call to, now these groups and these activists and commentators, they call to avoid U.S. matches. And this call is growing. It is growing. But what is the best way? My question is really, what is the best way to do this? And that's open up for debate. So should the team pull out? Well, you know, and only play maybe in Canada and Mexico? Should the fan protest? So that's another way. Or should they simply support the games in, as I said, in Canada and maybe in Mexico instead? So it's up to you. So it's really up to, you know. And the core, and the what is at the core is this debate forces us now to ask really, at the very beginning, before this is even start, to ask what the World Cup is all about then. So what is it all about? Is it just about football, or is it about the value we as a global community stand for? So yeah, so well, the United States, they, of course, they won the right to host the tournament, fair and square. Yeah. So, but can it win the trust of the world? That's the question. Can the America win the trust of the world? So that's the question. So, and we look at the sand mining. We look at the draft. The ministry that has come up with. We look at many aspects that, these regulations trying to address. So what we hear is that, you know, from the article, From our article, the article that that is in the villages, that the mining has spiraled out of control. And what is driven that is some bribery. There's a lot of bribery that is going on. There's also that there are weak oversight. There's nobody who's really getting hold of these and make sure that, you know, it's done properly, and especially in communal areas. So the draft regulation now will require a lot of other things that has been put in there. So it will require environmental assessment. You require that you have the environmental clearance certificate, management plans, you know, and community benefit sharing, you know, before any commercial mining permits are issued. So those are some of the issue. So, and there are also regulations maybe that you make yourself familiar as the consultation goes around communities, make sure that you attend and be part of that, of those consultations, so that you have, you know, you have your, so that you have your contribution. And there are a lot of things that we talk about that, that really, as I said, the more you know, the more you'll be able to participate. When you don't know, you don't even know what is owed to you, what you can ask, you know, and, how you deal with some of these issues. Maybe your house is just about 5 meters away from the pit, you know, that had been dug when they are, mining the sand, and you don't even know what are the laws saying, you know. So, yeah, this has been a very, very, very interesting episode of Unpacking the Day. So let's do that tomorrow again. Our time is about 59 minutes past the hour of 9. In actual fact, it will be just 10 o'clock in a few seconds. Boom, it's OptiCop. 10 o'clock. So, and that brings us to the end of our show this morning, at the end of Unpacking the Day this morning. And you probably have been looking forward to Kutha Mosha, because the man himself is back. Tate France is absolutely back, and he will take over from Tate Naluvanda. I will miss our interactions, you know, that we normally had here this morning. I mean, when he comes in and talk a little bit of the topic that we're going to be discuss. I'll miss this because I'm now crossing over, you know, to Windhoek. And, let's do this again tomorrow at the same time here on Eagle FM, at the same frequency and the same, you know, station here on Eagle FM. So me, Mark Oshoveli. Yeah, I'll see you around. So goodbye.